There are germs that can spread infectious diseases all too easily. Did you know that even standing close to a person sometimes, if that person's got a disease, you can catch it just because of what they've got carrying around inside them? Some organisms live on handle, like for example, door handles. And they can, on handrails and on faucets, if an infectious person has touched that, then for a little while afterwards, that still contains germs. And some of us are very conscious of germs, germophobes, if you might call them. And during flu season, we've got a whole bunch of these kinds of things that we put out so that you can, after we've passed the piece, you can go wipe your hands and get 99.9% of all the germs off of your hands. The fear of catching a sickness is a very real fear. And that fear can get in the way of helping those who are sick. The society in which Jesus lived was also very conscious of disease control, and they had strict rules on how to manage people with infectious diseases. Once it was determined that someone had an infectious disease, they were declared unclean, and that person, he or she, needed to stay away from everybody else. Understanding this is what makes the story we read today fascinating. The story picks up with Jesus returning to Capernaum after being on that boat ride we talked about last week. When he gets out of the boat, he's mobbed by the people. Jairus, one of the leaders of the synagogues, pushes his way to the front of the crowd and says, "Please come heal my daughter. She's dying." So Jesus says, "Okay," and he goes back with them towards the house. But as they're walking back, there's this whole crowd of people. There's a person in that crowd who's actually not supposed to be there. This woman who's got a hemorrhage of blood. Because of that hemorrhage, she's considered unclean. She's not supposed to be out in a crowd. She's not certainly supposed to be touching anybody. In fact, if she was married, her husband is allowed to divorce her, or at least has to separate from her. She can't live in the same house as he. She's as much an outcast as a leper would be. Unable to go to the synagogue, unable to go to the market, unable to walk along the town streets. In fact, anywhere there's people. According to Jewish purity laws, she was to be treated like those people that we treat, how we treat people with tuberculosis. We put them into quarantine. Now, she tried to get better. She had gone the doctor route, but as Mark said, she'd endured much under many doctors and was no better. I think some of us can understand that kind of feeling. However, their cures were rather dubious. One of the cures for bleeding was to drink a goblet of wine containing powder made from rubber, alum, and garden crocuses. Another cure consisted of drinking a mixture of wine and Persian onions, and they'd drink it while a person was shouting incantations at them. There were other painful and actually harmful procedures, and all of those procedures cost a lot of money. So, not surprisingly, she was still very ill, still an outcast, but now a lot poorer than she was before. But she's desperate. If she's caught in this crowd, she could be stoned to death. So she is literally taking her life in her hands, working her way through this crowd, trying to get close enough to Jesus to touch him, to touch his clothes, touch the hem of his garment, she says. If she can do that, she thinks, I'll be healed. And then she does. She manages to tag him as he goes by. And when she does, she feels this healing power whoosh into her. And what's really neat about this story is that typically what happens when a person touches something that's got germs on it, what happens? That person gets the germs too, right? But when this woman touches Jesus, what happens is everything goes in reverse. Jesus is like a walking antibiotic or something. And he touches him, and all of a sudden all the sickness goes away. And she's cleaned. What is unclean becomes clean. What is defiled becomes pure. Jesus, with his power, heals her. Then, much to the surprise of the woman and the disciples, Jesus stops and begins to look around the crowd and says, "Who touched me?" Why does he do that? Why does it even matter? It matters because Jesus doesn't simply heal like a vending machine. Sometimes people think if they've got the right words or go through the right motions or conjure up the right amount of faith, then bing, just like a vending machine, you've got the right combination and what you've requested comes sliding down onto the tray. But that's not how Jesus works. Jesus wants to know this woman. He wants to look her in the eyes. He wants a relationship. For us, it's not really a matter of asking God for certain things and then, if we get them, just going on our merry way. No, God wants relationship with us. I'm convinced that at least part of the reason we go through the struggles in our lives is because God wants our attention. God wants us to turn to Him. He wants relationship with us. Here in our gospel story, Jesus wants to speak to her, to encourage her, to comfort her. Healing the bleeding was only part of the solution. She needed his presence, his words, his peace. It's the same thing with us. We ought not to think in terms of formula. God wants relationship. Meanwhile, there's Jairus. We need to understand Jairus is an important man. He's wealthy, influential. He doesn't need to ask anything from anybody. But now that his daughter's ill to death, he's desperate. When Jesus finishes talking to the woman who's now clean, Jairus gets word that his daughter is now dead. He's told not to bother the teacher anymore. Jesus overhears that conversation and says, "Don't worry, just believe." So Jairus continues taking him to the house. The mourners are already wailing. Jesus says, "Hey, what are you guys doing? She's just sleeping." And they know that she's dead, and so they laugh at him. He says, "Get out. Get out." They all leave. Then Jesus goes up to the daughter's room, and he takes her by the hand. This is important because the dead are unclean. And Jairus would know the rules. He's the head of the synagogue. He sees Jesus breaking the taboos to touch his dead daughter. When the dead are touched, the person who touches them is now also unclean, at least for a while. In those days, the rabbis were particularly careful to remain ceremonially clean. In that religious society, they were the pillars of the religious establishment. Everyone looked to the rabbis to see how to live and how to obey the laws of God. So it was important that they especially avoided all contact with what was unclean. Again, Jesus does the unexpected. He actually touches this dead girl's hand. He doesn't just touch it. He grabs it and he pulls her to a sitting position and he says, "Get up." And she does. She comes back to life. Again, Jesus reverses the flows. He reverses, instead of the germs coming to him, he pushes out life to her. He cleanses the unclean. He pushes out the darkness. He restores from death. So what's the point? What can we learn from this segment in a day in the life of Jesus? First, to recognize what Mark's trying to convey to us. To see Jesus as the God-man. to see Jesus as the one who can take life and push it into the dead, who can clean the unclean, who can heal the sick. He doesn't catch anything. He instead cures the sick. Another lesson is what the early church learned, and that was to care for the sick. In the first century, when a person got sick, especially with an infectious disease, that person was simply abandoned. If the contagious illness began to spread through a city, the wealthy and everyone else would simply leave that city and go someplace else to live. And they would leave the sick and the dying to care for themselves. The dead were literally left to rot on their beds, or if they were pulled out into the street, they were left on the streets. But what happened as Christianity spread was that the Christians would stay. They would stay and care for the sick. They would stay and bury the dead. They would stay with those who had been deserted, with those who were unclean, with those who were contaminated. Was it because they thought they would be impervious to the sicknesses? No. Many Christians died as a result of catching the sicknesses. Of course, many survived, and many of those non-Christians who had been deserted survived as well. It had an enormous impact on the ancient world. This has been the Christian legacy throughout history. Christians established hospitals. Christians established leper colonies. It was the Christians who began to care for the wounded soldiers. It was Christians who began the orphanages and cared for abandoned babies and children. What about us? Well, for us, we need to continue to reach out and help those who are the so-called unclean. And we do that here at St. Andrew's. We do visit the sick and the dying. We do help those who are in need of food and help in need of clothing and necessities. And if you're not involved in any of those ministries, I encourage you. Get involved by helping at the thrift store. Our director is sitting right over there in this handsome red shirt. And Richard will help you how to get involved. I encourage you to get involved at the food pantry. I encourage you to get involved in pastoral ministry. If you desire, you can get involved by contributing to the Rector's Discretionary Fund. It is out of that fund that I, in the church's name, help people in our church and community with their electric, water, or rent bills. As Christians, this is what we do. This is who we are as people who are trying to follow Jesus, who reached out and touched those people that no one else would help. Amen.